Dear so-and-so, based on our conversation and your requirements, we can accommodate 150 overnight guests, speaker space to hold 150, access to good birding areas, and some breakout rooms as well. We can provide the continental breakfast, box lunches, and we'll also be providing a shuttle that will take you to your off-site dinner as well as the bird watching areas 7 miles off of campus. You will be needing parking permits, but I can take care of all of that for you and then give them to you when you arrive.
Okay. So you've summarized. As I'm walking around the different tables and talking to everybody, a lot of people are saying to me, I don't have time for this. It's not the way I work. My customers wouldn't do this. They wouldn't accept it. It's one extra step. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that if you're just constantly pushing out proposals without developing some kind of a relationship, I'm guessing that your margins for success are lower. And so what I'm encouraging you to do is take a risk, add an extra step with the people that you think are really serious, not everybody that calls in. Take that extra step, develop more of a relationship, and then have a better understanding of them when you do send out that proposal so that they consider you possibly as much or more than somebody else. Okay, you want to go next? Oh, you're working that together. Okay, all right, that's fair. Sometimes I think when I don't click this for a while. The next, another money question. All right, when you have them on the phone, all right, when you've agreed to speak on the phone, does this sound like an accurate description of what we talked about? The same thing as an objection. You know, have I addressed this objection to your satisfaction? So you're giving them yet another opportunity to talk to you about what it is they're really looking for. And it's another way to build the relationship. It's another way to personalize it. It's another way to let them know that you're very service-oriented. It's another way to kind of bring them in to your side. So now we get to the proposal. So the one thing I'd like to impress upon you today is that I want you to add an extra step in between talking to them and sending out a proposal, and that's a needs assessment. But at some point, you have to send out a proposal, right? We can't be here all day. So the proposal goes out. Oops. And this is what Jill Conrath says in Snap Selling, and I think it's critical to understand about the proposal. And the way you do this is called the trial close. And this is what a trial close is. And this is what you should say to the person. And this is what you say before you let go of the proposal. Just because they've talked to you and asked for a proposal does not mean you have to send them one. And this is what you say to them. I've used notes from our conversation to put together a proposal outlining the specifications and costs for your event. If the proposal addresses your needs, could you see your organization holding the event at our venue? Ask them up front if they think they're going to do business with you before you let go of the proposal. Now, how many people would find that hard to do? What would be hard about it? Okay. Okay. They want to get it and do it and get off the phone and get on with it. And are you happy with the percentage that you close?
Yeah.
You are. Okay. Then in that case, I would say something's working. But if you're not happy and you want to close a greater percentage of the proposals you're sending out, don't let go of it before you ask that question. So it may be that you ask that question and they say to you, great. You know, and they say, yes, I definitely would like to have my event in your venue. The next question is.
A lot of times they'll just say, send me a proposal.
Yeah,
that
I get that.
That happens a lot.
So much.
Yeah. And are they doing business with you to the degree that you are happy with?
I think we'd all like some more business.
Sure, sure. And I'm showing you, and I do this all the time. I send my clients a need summary, and then I say, I'm going to put the proposal together, or I have put it together. Before I do, are you really seriously considering doing business with me?
I agree with that, but if they say right to you on the phone or in person or whatever, send me a proposal. Are you suggesting that we stop and do this step as well? Or is it only if we're in that phase where they haven't asked for a proposal yet?
Well, wherever you are, okay, no matter what the conversation is like, before you let you have to have some kind of conversation with them to determine what they need. You can't price it out and all that, correct?
Right.
So you say, I've listened to what you had to say. I've got all my notes right here. Before I send you the proposal, are you seriously considering doing business at our venue? And you'll be shocked at some of the honest answers you will get. And to your question, if I said that to someone and they said, no, we're not seriously considering you, I would say, thank you so much, because I don't have time to put together a proposal if I'm not someone you're seriously considering. Okay? You know, it's possible, but I think if it's done in a really good professional way, you're just asking, are we someone that you're seriously considering? And then what I say to people is, great, I'll send the proposal off. Let's set up a time now to discuss it. And if they won't set up a time with me to discuss the proposal, huge red flag. Mm-hmm. What I would say is ask the question and see what happens. I think you'd be very pleasantly surprised, because you're not, again, it's not in a confrontational, angry, I'm in a hurry, you know, are you going to do business with us or not? It's said in a much more businesslike, upbeat, you're saying, you know, at this point, are you seriously considering our venue? I say to people, at this point, are you seriously considering me for coming into your business and giving you sales management advice? It's not confrontational, it's not angry, it's not anything. I might also suggest you have two different kinds of proposals. If you get a really wishy-washy feeling from someone, send one out that's easier. Well, first of all, try to do it face-to-face, if at all possible. You send them the needs summary, you call them, you review the needs summary. Is this an accurate description of what we talked about? Okay, well, based on the notes from our conversation, then I'll put together a proposal. You could say it in the future tense, depending on how the conversation goes. If the proposal addresses your needs, might you seriously consider doing business with us? You'll get phenomenally honest answers. You'll be really surprised. And I've never, you know, I've had people be very honest with me, and I've tried to be honest with them in return. Then you say, great, let's set up a convenient time next week to review the proposal. If they're not willing to set up a time to review it, you should be very, very skeptical of your chances of getting that business. And what I keep hearing from everybody is how very, very busy you are, and I'm trying to show you how to jettison some of the people that take up a lot of your time and don't give you a lot in return. So if they say, if there's any kind of resistance on their part, these are the kinds of questions you need to ask them. So they give you any kind of resistance at all, you ask them some kind of a follow-up question. If they said, no, I don't want to set up a time to speak with you, I'm too busy right now, I don't want to set a time, I would say, given that you are busy, given that you need to finish a project, when does it make sense for us to speak again? In other words, I wouldn't just give up. I would take it to the next level. So you should have exercise... Which number is it?
11.
Okay. So fill that in, and then with your partners at the table, practice kind of saying this to each other. All right, let's work on the proposal follow-up. Tony? You ready? Okay. Okay. Okay.
Hi, Tira. I'm just calling. This is Andrea from CU Conference Services, and I was just calling to do a follow-up conversation to make sure, one, that you received the proposal and that you've had a chance to look it through and to see if you had any additional questions from what we've talked about. Hopefully it's captured everything that we have talked about so far.
Yeah, I had a chance to look over the proposal, but I'm not quite ready to make a commitment. I'm still looking at other venues at this point.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Is there anything within the proposal, though, that maybe you're still considering that we can talk through that might help you come to a decision of where the best fit for you to help you get to that point of being able to commit and that we can help you have a successful event?
Yes, let's chat. Let's chat more.
Okay, specifically, what would you like to chat about?
The proposal's too high. the cost is too high, the total cost. It needs to go down.
Is there any area in particular that you would like to start with that?
Just say if I bring the cost down on X, would you seriously consider our venue? Oh.
If I could bring the cost down to X, would that be something that, is that more your price range that you're talking about?
Yes, I would seriously consider your venue if you brought the price down to X.
Great. Let me do some more reworking, and I'll look at some of those other areas that we talked about before and see if I can't get that to X.
Fabulous. Thank you.
Excellent example, because you may think you know why someone isn't doing business with you, but they may not tell you. And by taking it one step further, putting her on the spot and saying, you know, what's stopping you from moving forward, she came right out and said what was bothering her, which people don't always do. If they get the proposal and it's too high or higher than they thought, they just discount you right away. But by you taking the time to follow up and ask very specific questions, you find out what it is that bothers them. They find out what it is you might be able to compromise on, and then you're back being considered. Whereas before, if you just sort of let the proposal go, you don't always know. So we've come all this way, and now we're at the close. And we want to close the business. We've gone to a lot of work. We've called them. We've spoken to them. We've answered their questions. We've taken them on a virtual tour. We've answered their objections, we've sent a needs assessment, we've sent them a proposal, and now we need to close the business. And what is closing? What is it? And this is what Stephen Schiffman says closing is. So you have done so much work that you have every right now to try and close this business. And what salespeople learn after they've been in sales for a while is, and we call it hugging the customer to death. When people are new in sales, they think if they just are as nice as can be and they keep following up and they keep servicing, they'll never have to ask for the business. The person will at some point say to them, "You are so wonderful, kind, giving, smart, and empathetic, that I absolutely will give the business to you." And what they learn along the way is you have to come out and ask for the business. It doesn't matter how attractive your venue is. It doesn't matter how competitive your pricing is. It doesn't matter how initially interested they were. You've got to come out and you've got to ask for it. And these are some closing facts more. And sometimes you have to ask more than once as salespeople learn along the way. I worked with a sales organization many years ago. It was a student travel agency. They would call teachers in junior highs and high schools and ask them to put together a trip, whether it be to Italy or France or Scotland or wherever the case may be, and they would try to convince them to put together a trip and travel with their student travel agency. And a lot of the students that they hired were travelers themselves, and they were fairly young, and they were still at an age where a lot of these teachers were still authority figures to them, and they felt uncomfortable coming out and asking for the business. And so I needed to teach them how to close, and I needed to impress upon them that these teachers weren't authority figures to them anymore. They were adults. They were working. They needed to go after this business and close it. So these are this is what I taught them. This is what I taught that particular company to say to close the business. And this is a second version they came up with to teach them how to close. So what I would further propose to you is that after you send them the proposal, that you call them up and you formally close them. You ask them for their business. And you have every right to ask them. You've done all the hard work that's involved so that you could. So I believe that the next exercise is a closing exercise. So think of your own venue, the venue that you work at currently, and come up with a close. Yeah, I would follow up pretty fast. Good question on how quickly do you follow up. What I would do is send them the proposal, agree on a date to speak, call them, and then formally close them. Formally ask them for their business. And if you formally ask people for their business, you'll get more of it. You'll close more deals. You'll get more proposals because you came right out and asked for it. Okay, so we're ready to hear some closes from your some of your coworkers and your peers. Ready?
Okay. Mr. Smith, from the time we started speaking on September 1st, you expressed an interest in the university dining room here at Lewis University, especially considering the AV equipment available in the room and the close proximity to your company location. Our venue location offers your group all of that, plus the easy access to the cafeteria, which you were very interested in. The UDR, University Dining Room, will be a convenient and ideal location for your company workshop. Would you like to book your workshop event with Lewis University?
I don't know how they could say no. You just gave them every fact in the book. Very good. Thank you. I appreciate you volunteering. Go ahead.
Ms. Jones, from the time we started speaking on September 4th, you expressed an interest in the Thomas and Mack Center, especially our world-renowned production team and our reputation for excellent service. The Thomas and Mack Center offers your group all of that, plus a convenient location and a wonderful food and beverage department. The Thomas and Mack Center will be an exciting location and a great partner resource for your reception and concert. Would you like to book your event with us here at the Thomas and Mack?
You sound so professional and serene. I would sign up. I would think she has got it together. You know, I would definitely, yes, and let me sign it. Why do you say, back when we started talking on and give them the date, why do you say that? What's important about that? What does that remind them? You've been talking for a while. But whenever I first call on someone, I make note of the date, and I reference the date, and I've had people stop me right then and there and say, we didn't start talking in August. And I'll say, yes, we did. Oh, that's impossible. So in a very non-confrontational way, you remind them of how long the conversation has been going on in a way that's comfortable, and they realize, wow, I have to make a decision here. I need to get going. I've got some things to do. So you do everything right. You send out the proposal. You set up a time to talk, but they blow you off. And this happens. You know, people, you say, let's talk Tuesday at 2, and you call, and they're not there, and you try an hour later, and they're still not there, and 3 days later, they're not there, and you're really trying on this. So what do you do? And this is what I suggest you say. And someone tell me what they think the most important word in that whole paragraph is after you get through reading it. What's the most important word? Week? Any guesses? What's the most important word up there? Week? Oh, agreed. Very important, but it's not the first most important one. What? Confused. Who said confused? That's the most important word in the entire script. What happens when you tell someone you are confused? What happens? What? Right. Yeah, and we're all in business. We have to have a certain way that we speak, a certain way we conduct ourselves, a certain way we are. When you say, I'm confused, what are you doing? You're kind of stepping out of the business role and what? You're just being more human. What? Did she? Okay, stealing my script. All right. And when people hear you say the word confused, they immediately sort of pay attention because you've just acted very human and said, you know what, I don't know what to do. I can't seem to get you on the phone. This isn't happening. And so when you use that word, people will often kind of come around and say, oh my gosh, you know, I need to get back with them or what have you. But what I tell people, and they always laugh when I say this, is you have to earn your confusion. You have to truly be confused. So you can't just call someone up and say, hey, I'm confused. You have to think, am I really confused? And I'm married. I have two teenagers. I'm confused all the time. So I feel like I earn mine every day. But you have to kind of go back through what you've done and say, have I done everything that I could do? Yes, I have. Okay, you know what? I'm just genuinely confused.
All right. So we're question? Yes. Good question, and yes. And you can also do it in person. You know, if they happen to pick up the phone, I would still let them know I'm confused. And I tell people, if it's live and you use the word confused, he who talks first loses. Use the word, and you'll hear they'll either be nervous laughter or they'll start babbling. Just be quiet and let them talk. And eventually, they'll help you out of your confusion. So just work on this script carefully, and I'll ask for some volunteers on this one. If you'd like to volunteer to read. Come on. This is the easiest one all day. I don't think any of you have read for me yet, have you? Okay, come on. To volunteer and read their script? Anybody? I had some comments and questions on using the word confused, and I do this for a living. It's not the first time that I've heard an objection. When you say you're confused, you say it in a manner, a very professional manner. You don't sound confused when you say confused. And I am just so confused. You know, it's nothing like that. And it's, when you use the word confused, it makes it sound like you are really kind of all over the place, and it's really human, and it's a very effective tool to get someone to come to the table and let you know what they're thinking and be real with you and perhaps close the business. So it's very powerful that way. But you don't need to sound confused. You're still very professional. You know, we agreed to speak on September 15th. I haven't heard from you. And at this point, I have to say I'm a little bit confused. You know, could you please call me back at your earliest convenience? You still sound together and polished and professional, but you're really confused, and you're trying to get that point across. Anybody want to volunteer and read theirs? Okay. So the goodbye email. Who asked me at the very beginning how you get rid of a customer, how you say goodbye? Someone asked me that question. It was almost the very first question, and I said I'd get to it at the very end of the day. Does anybody remember asking me that? This is your goodbye email. And this is when, this is another thing that people think, oh my gosh, I can't do it. There's no possible way. I might come across as rude or unprofessional. And this is what I'm suggesting. When you have done everything you can think of, you've said you're confused and even that didn't work, you've done everything you can, this is a suggestion of what you could say to a prospect. Hi, John. After having made several attempts to contact you, I'm going to assume that you'll be holding your event elsewhere or that another project is at the top of your priority list. If you would like to consider us for a future event, please do contact me. I enjoyed getting to know you and your team. Thank you for your interest, and I hope I'll hear from you in the not-too-distant future. And what you do when you say that is you take your power back and you free up your brain space and you move on. And you go on to other clients that could potentially do some business with you. So what I'd ask you to do right now is think about someone who you thought really would be a good candidate for your venue. You did everything possible, answered every question, returned every call, answered every email, came down on the price. You did everything you could, and still you didn't hear back from them. So think, get that client in your mind and write out your script for saying goodbye to them in a very positive and upbeat way. You all feel comfortable sharing your goodbye email? We'll go over our goodbye email now. We have some volunteers at the front of the room. Well, not really volunteers, but we're ready.
Hi, Margaret. After having made several attempts to contact you, I'm going to assume that you'll be holding the training elsewhere or that another project is at the top of your priority list. If you'd like to consider the student union for a future event, please contact us. I enjoyed getting to know you and your team. Thank you for your interest, and I hope we'll speak again sometime soon.
Good job. Nice. Nice.
Jen, after having made several attempts to contact you, I'm going to assume that you'll be holding the Women in Business Leadership Summit elsewhere or that another project is at the top of your priority list for now. If you would like to consider student union and event services for a future event, please contact us. I enjoyed getting to know you and your team. Thank you for your interest, and I hope we'll speak again sometime soon.
Tony, after sending your proposal and making several attempts to contact you, I will assume... Not you, Tony. I will assume you are holding your camp elsewhere, or that you have another project that is at the that is at the top of your priority list for right now. If you would like to consider UW-Stout's Memorial Student Center for a future event, please contact me. I enjoyed getting to know you and your team. Thank you for your interest, and I hope we'll speak again soon.
Good job. I know that's an odd way to end things in the sense that what I'm trying to get you to do is take certain steps so that you'll increase your business. And here I'm telling you to say goodbye to a customer. Two guesses. What happens very frequently when you leave someone a goodbye voicemail? What happens more often than not? That is exactly right. That is what happens. Now, will every single person call you back? Absolutely not. Some people will hear your message and think, oh, thank heavens, you know, I moved on to other things or what have you. But more often than not, you will get called back. More often than not, you'll get an apology. They'll say, because this is someone you've spent a lot of time with. This is someone you've gotten to know. This is someone you've developed a relationship with. And they'll say, I'm really sorry. You know, but my boss put this marketing project on my desk and I had to move the date. And they'll be honest with you and you can move forward from that point. And it's a good feeling. It's a powerful feeling. And you can move on and start working with other people. So when we got back from lunch, I asked you what was the one thing in the morning that you learned or the one thing that the new thing or something I reminded you of. And now I'll ask you the same question. In this afternoon's session, what are the one or two things that you picked up, something new that you're going to do, something new that you're going to try, something you used to do?
I think I'll approach closing a sale differently than we have. I think, you know, right now we send, you know, an email saying, you know, your deadline is coming up to make a payment to confirm your event. And we're really focused on these deadlines that the customer needs to meet instead of saying, you know, instead of taking the responsibility on ourselves to close that lead. We're just putting the proposal out there and then expecting the customer to meet our deadlines and to come to us on our terms.
You're focusing on the business end of it, the transaction end. And
yeah,
you're going to move more to just formally coming right out and asking them if they'd like to do business with you. That's great. You will close more business, I guarantee it. Other ideas? Something you're going to do differently when you get back to the office?
It's too bad. just a quote you said earlier that I touched on that I wanted to write down, make sure I remember, is you have to come out and ask for business as opposed to wishing and hoping and praying that business will just fall on your lap.
Right. And in sales, they often say it's the rule of thirds. There's the third you'll never sell. There's the third that will maybe fall into your lap. And then there's that third that you have to fight for. And there will be some people who you don't have to close. It's just an instant match, and you just sort of both agree to do business together, and it's really not that big of a deal. It's the rest of those guys that you've got to go out and formally ask for the business. And I'd be anxious to know, you know, what your success rate is with that. And I hope you do ask more often because it will increase the business if you come right out and ask for it. It's got to be at least one idea per table, at least.
Right, or two. It's the law of averages, I think. I'm going to try doing the needs assessment. That's not a step I've ever... Oh, sorry. It's not something that I've ever done before. I've always just gone right to the proposal. But I realize that more often than not, I'm changing the proposal after I have sent it. And hopefully maybe doing the needs assessment will help me get the proposal more accurate before I send it.
That's great. And again, you know, let me know how that works. You're just, it's one more touch, one more way to forge a relationship with that customer. There was a hand, I think, over here.
Yeah, I was going to say, same thing. We, you know, I was questioning you a little bit about that because, you know, it's like, let's get this thing closed and, you know, you're so eager for the business. But
yes, of course.
And we do send out what we would consider to be a needs assessment, but we attach pricing to that, which is really, in effect, a proposal.
Yes.
So to maybe try taking that extra step, to see if, you know, how serious the client is, whether they're just shopping or they're actually really seriously. It's sort of an extra step to qualify the lead.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And again, these are people you're very, very serious about, not just everybody. If you're getting a sense that this person really doesn't want to do business with you, you're not going to put the effort forth. All right, some tables over here. I know there have to be some ideas, some things you're going to do a little bit differently.
Mine's actually a question,
uh-huh.
I think. I really like the idea of the needs assessment, but sometimes in my particular venue, the time that you're talking with someone is only a few days.
Mm-hmm.
It's not extended.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern is, am I going to really lose my business if I make it too many steps? And I'm wondering if, knowing that the decision process is usually fairly short for my clients, could I somehow combine the needs assessment with the proposal, or does that really negate the purpose?
Yeah, it really is two separate
okay.
exercises. And I'll give you an example from my own calling on customers. These are president. In the main, I call on presidents of smaller-sized companies. They are used to telling people what to do, when to do it, how fast to do it, and they don't take any guff off of anybody. And what I try to do is set expectations, and they'll have me come in, and they'll say, oh, this is what I want, and I want a proposal. And I say to them, this is what I typically do. Let me walk you through it, and let's talk about it. I said, instead of sending you a proposal with pricing, what I'm going to do is recap our conversation, send that to you. You and I will talk about it. If I got it right, then I will turn a proposal around really quickly with pricing attached. No game. And usually, and these are people that, you know, some of these people haven't had a boss in 30 years. They're not used to anyone not doing what they tell them to do. And I get a very, very positive response. But on the other hand, I don't say, and then in 6 weeks, you know, and then in week eight, you know, I make it clear that I understand they're busy. And I make it clear that it's not going to last forever. But could I put this one interim step in? Would that work for them? So that I get a clear vision of what it is they want. And usually, I send the needs assessment to them. We have a fantastic conversation. And usually, did I really say that? Well, that's not what I meant. And then we work it out. And then I have a very, very clear understanding of what they need. But good question. You don't want people to feel annoyed. You don't want people to wonder, how long is this going to last? And the way I counteract that is to tell them what I'm going to do and to assure them that it definitely will move along, that they're busy and I'm busy too, and that I completely understand. Okay, I've heard from nobody from this side of the room. Okay.
I'm going to streamline my introduction emails for that initial touch with the prospects. I just find that I'm giving them too much information at once. And, you know, that is definitely a turnoff. So
yes,
that will be something I'm going to do right away. Start just kind of like sending out the emails as like a filler. And also a filter, too, so then I can determine their interest level and kind of get the conversation started.
Yes. Okay, so you feel right now that you're leaving voicemails and emails that have too much information.
Well, the emails are including our sales kits, our catering menus. I'm just kind of giving them everything.
Yeah.
I'm hitting them hard with mm-hmm. everything. And it's just kind of I want to kind of soften it a bit. And
That's really great.
You know, hopefully kind of bring them more to me.
Yes, yes. And just so you'll know, a lot of times when I work with companies and I ask them about their sales process, they show me their first email and I'm staggered by the amount of information they send out. I say, are you kidding? You know, it's, you know, seven attachments across, and it's just unbelievable. So you mean well, but in the end, it just pushes people back instead of bringing them closer to you. So great.
Right. And I think the idea there, or the mindset, is that because we're constantly, we've said it all day, we're so busy that, you know, this is our one touch, but we want to kind of get the information in front of them, and then we can move on to the next. We don't want to leave anyone out or miss anyone, so we want to make sure that we give them all the information. So.
Right. And really the opposite is true. And you're not keeping it, and you're not playing games. You're just trying to build up a relationship so you find out, is that really what they need or want? Any other ideas or things you're going to put into practice when you get back to the office?
I liked the pre-proposal letter in between the needs assessment and then your proposal. Again, I think with the needs assessment, we do some of that now, but I can't tell you how many And we do a lot of nonprofit, a lot of free space for the community. And so many times you send that proposal out and they don't care because they're not necessarily paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
But because we didn't do a more accurate needs proposal, we don't know. We get the little surprises come event time. Oh, did we not tell you we need 8 easels? Oh, did we not tell you we need?
Oh.
So I think being a little more specific with that. But I like that pre-proposal letter, too. Just saying, I'm sending this, these are the dates, you know, or whatever, and just putting that sort of out there as well.
Thanks. I appreciate you sharing that with me. One of the things that when I talked to some of your peers before I came here today to speak, one of the things I got from my conversation is this is the way it works and we have to do it this way. They call us, we ask the questions, and then we have to send a proposal out. There's no discussion. We have to do it. It's always the way we've done it. It will never change. And we always have to spend our time doing this. And my first question in my mind was, why? Why do you always have to send out a proposal? Why do you just always have to do that? Why can't you start asking better questions, asking more questions, and then determining who really needs a proposal and who maybe isn't a right fit for your organization, and spending more time with the people who are really good matches and less time with the people who are really just time drainers? And that's what I hope I got across to you today. Anybody else want to add anything? Question, comment, anything at all, really?
I think we're all saying the same thing with the assessment. I think it's more controlling your client, because that's where, you know, we're saying we're rushing to go through or we're too busy, but that's where I'm finding now, realizing it's like, you know what, if I don't control my client, then that's when I'm wasting the time. So using that to say, here we are, this is what we're going to do, let's get it defined so that way we know we can move on to the next step. That one's moved on. There's no more questions going on. We don't have that issue of somebody asking for that. Just like you said, we have a lot of nonprofits also coming in, and then they monopolize your time. It's more of using that tool as controlling the client to make sure that you have it and you're able to use, you know, utilize your time a lot better.
No, very well said. Equal business stature. Yeah. When someone is always driving you, when someone's always pushing you, when they're telling you what you have to do, you don't feel like much of a business person, and you do feel busy and harried. And what I'm giving you tips and tools to try to balance the scales a little bit so that you too feel in control and you too feel like you can push back now and again respectfully and in a business-like way and say no, or we need to do this first. Somebody?
Well, we were discussing about the amount of information that we give out to our clients. One way that we thought that we could still maybe share additional information about our facilities would be to complete our virtual tour. So we're going to try to do that when we get back, so that will be a point whereby clients can go to that link and we can send them there, and we can put that in our emails when we send that out, and they can get information that they may not have needed to call us about on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think a virtual tour would be fantastic. If I had any interest at all, I would certainly take it. I know for the first time a couple years ago in planning a vacation, my husband and I and my children used, I think it's called Home Away, and we looked for an apartment. And I was just amazed at the level of detail. We saw every room right down to the bedspread, you know, and it was just really amazing. And sometimes you see an apartment right away and you think, that's not right, but hey, that could work. So I would think, yeah, it would behoove you to have a great virtual tour. And I hope you put that together soon and have good luck with it. So that concludes our program today. I wanted to thank, I'm sorry.
Just one more. What about the folks that we absolutely cannot accommodate? Because we all get those folks who want to have something and they're not flexible to their dates, and it happens to be the day of your commencement. How, we of course try to leave the door open. Is it appropriate or too much to say, you know, if it wasn't this specific date, this is how we could accommodate that event, and if you consider us in the future?
When you call someone back, when they've expressed interest in your venue and you call them back for whatever reason, in those initial stages, what it is more than anything else is a public relations gesture, because you have no relationship with them yet. You don't even know what they want. You don't know if you can accommodate them. And they must have all kinds of events. You can't accommodate them this time, but maybe the next time. So if they have a really good experience with you, and you ask them some questions and maybe find out about some other business events that they hold, you can form a good relationship with them. So I would look at that as a definite lead, even if you can't accommodate them that time around.
And my second part to that is, Are you damaging yourself by assisting them in finding someplace else if you cannot accommodate them?
You're making yourself look stronger, more sophisticated, and like a better business person.
Okay, because that's what our thing is, to normally send folks to other local schools and to the Unique Venues website. So
they will always remember that. And as a consultant, I get crazy calls. You know, could you teach my engineers? I mean, just stuff that's so out of my wheelhouse. And I always listen, and I always say, no, but let me point you in the direction of someone who can help you. And it just makes you look strong, and it just makes it likely that they'll come back to you again.
Am I getting the check for the segue?
Okay. Any other comments or questions? I know that we've put in a lot of hours today. We've talked about a lot of different things. What I tried to show you was a methodology so that you feel more on equal footing with your potential clients and you close more business. And I do hope that is what happens for you. This would not have been possible without my being able to speak to some of your peers. Lauren Gierman at Michigan State University, Jean Harris, and I think it's pronounced the Coven Conference Center, Kathy Ivanko with Indiana University, Pennsylvania, Jason Wally at the University of California at Los Angeles, Dan Dykstra at the Georgia Institute of Technology, Aaron Pauls at the University of Northern Florida, and Daphne, I'm struggling with your last name, for Loyola University of Chicago. They all agreed to get on the phone with me. They spent at least an hour with me. I asked them. I had a list of questions I asked. They weren't easy questions, and it was all about me trying to better understand what you do so I could come here today and talk to you in language that you can understand to the best of my ability. And Tony McGuirt and Chuck Salem were so great to work with. You can't imagine how many questions I asked them. I sent them endless emails. Is this accurate? Would this be realistic? What would a facilities manager think about this or think about that? And they answered every question and then some, and it was a pleasure to work with both of them. I'd like to thank them for the opportunity to speak today and to thank you for all your hard work.